Horizon Church. Horizon Church. He even said the other one tonight. He was saying to us how he said it this morning. Who heard him say it tonight? I just want verification around the room. I just want verification. Well, it's fantastic to be with you, and just stay standing just for a moment. You know, I want to honour your senior pastors. I wasn't able to do it with both of them today, but it's great to have Alison with us and Brad, pastors and friends. You know, I grew up in Perth, and I remember that there was a young guy and a girl in a youth group that I used to go to from time to time, and then they took on a leadership role, and I was saying, particularly Brad used to stand out because he used to stand right at the front, and he was sort of, I never remember him being any smaller than what he is today. He was always that height from what I could remember. And you know, these guys had an incredible desire, passion for God, had leadership standard on their life way back then. And what you're seeing today is really just a culmination of many years of what they've done. But I want you guys to lift your hands right now. And I want you to, and I want them to lift their hands. I want you to put your hand towards them. That was awesome response though. I love the responsiveness of the church. Everybody's like this. Fantastic. Come on, reach your hands out right now. You know, this morning I preached a word, and if you haven't heard it, I'd encourage you to get on the podcast, not because I want you to listen to my preaching, but I believe it's a prophetic word for the church. But I also believe it's a prophetic word for Brad and Alison. And I believe, Brad and Alison, you're about to come into a season of favor. A season of favor. I don't just mean a season of good times. I mean a season of favor. Favor actually is unmerited reward. And you're about to walk into a new season where for many years you've actually been toiling and toiling. Not just the last 4 years here, but even prior to that, people don't know some of the turmoil that you've gone through over and over and over again. But actually, don't think any longer that you're in that season. It's actually going to be hard. It's almost like you need a detox program in the spirit. And I'm going to pray that tonight God does something supernatural in your hearts and your spirits, that you wake up tomorrow and you're going to have expectation of favor. Favor that is unmerited, it's unrewarded, it's not because of what you've been through, but it's because God wants to come and do something powerful in and through you. I can see that where in the past you've just been day in, day out, working at the grind almost, as it would seem, suddenly you're going to do things and it's going to multiply. There was that passage of scripture read in the offering where, you know, so often we believe for, you know, if we invest our money, 6% return per annum, but I believe that you're coming into the season of 30, 60, 100 fold, where it's not just a little measure, but suddenly God does something in and through you. So God, I pray right now that this season would be not just a great season of blessing and favor, but Lord, I pray in their family, in their finances, in their personal life, in the life of the church, that this would be a season of increase. God, I prophesy more over their lives, and I pray that they would actually feel a weight lift even tonight as they step into a new level of spiritual dimension in you. So God, touch them, bless them, increase them, and everybody who agrees with what God is saying to them, come on, let's applaud the Lord in this place tonight. Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, you can take your seats if you'd like. Tonight I want to preach to you on the topic of more. I want to talk to you about more. You know, we're the church of significant. Thank you. You can go. You're wondering, aren't you, after I kept you there for so long this morning. With a church of significance always comes more. You know, one of the things about your church right here that I do know is that there has been some debt on this property, and it's been something that collectively you as a church have actually been working to pay off. Some of you youth and young adults don't realize the sacrifice that's been made in the last few years, but I'm telling you that when you're in a church of significance, there's always more required. You see, in this church's history, this has been the building. But I'm actually speaking over your church that this isn't going to be the only building, but God's going to start to gift you opportunity in buildings. There's going to be buildings that are going to come, and God is going to increase your measure. And so the first thing you can think is, oh, how can we do that? But I want to encourage you today that your God is a God of the more. He always wants you to believe for increase. He always wants you to get out of a settling pattern and understand there's more, there's more, there's more that God has for you. Okay, now I'll start talking. Take a few breaths. I travel a lot and I spend a lot of time living in a suitcase. And suitcases are great things. The sound is awesome tonight, by the way. The foldback is great. It's got no tss on my voice. Tss, tss. I've got a tss, tss voice, if you're wondering. Could be a snare drum. And anyway, I travel a lot, and so I live out of a suitcase. And I don't know, but I don't know why, but, you know, I'm not excessive compulsive in any part of my life except traveling, because on average I spend 26 to 30 weeks a year and have for nearly now 20 years on the road. And so I live out of a suitcase. This week I was in Fiji, I was in Suva for 2 days, then I moved to Nandi, then I moved to Sydney, and then tonight I go home to Melbourne, and I'm home for like 7 days, and then I go back to PNG for 3 days, three different parts of PNG, then I go to the Gold Coast for 2 days, then I'm home for 4 days, then I go to the United States of America, and I'm in 6 states in 8 days, and that's my life for the next year. I'm tired just thinking about it. But I live in a suitcase. And the thing about a suitcase is that when you get to a hotel, have you noticed that in hotels they actually have cupboards? They actually have drawers. But people like my wife and family, they don't use those things. They actually take the suitcase. And my wife is the most meticulous person when we live at home. When we're on holidays, it's like, what happened? But the same thing in reverse for me. When I'm at home, I'm not that meticulous. But when I'm away, I get my suitcase and I take things out and I hang it in the cupboards. I think it's for my sanity over the years. Who else actually uses those cupboards and drawers when you... Oh, yeah, there's a few people. Who doesn't? Who lives out of the suitcase like an animal? Oh, sorry. You'd already put your hand up. Sorry about that. I exposed you. And anyway, I, you know... do this, and I travel in a certain way. And have you noticed there's a phenomena about suitcases? When you leave, you pack it, and everything fits in. But when you come home, even if you haven't bought anything extra, it doesn't all fit in the suitcase. I don't know what it is about it. It's just like washing machines and socks. You put two in, and always one comes out. Where do they go? Do the washing machine need to eat socks to keep going? I don't understand. It's a phenomenon. Same with the suitcase. Well, on this occasion, I bought my kids presents. And when they were younger, I've got an 18-year-old son and a 21-year-old daughter. And when they were younger, we had this rule. If daddy goes on a long trip, you get a big present. Daddy goes on a short trip, it's a short present or no present. So my son used to say as I'm leaving, Daddy, are you going a long trip or a short trip? And I thought it was because he loved me and he didn't want me to go for long. But I realized he was hoping it was always a long trip because he got better presents. And anyway, on this occasion, I put these presents in the bag and I'd bought a few extra things myself. And I put it in the bag, and I don't know if you do this, but I put the suitcase on the bed and I sat on the suitcase and I'm trying to zip that thing up. And I'm telling you, if those zippers pop, somebody's going to die. And I get it off the bed, and as I pull it off the bed, it's, ah! In the bed is still some clothes that were under the suitcase, and I don't know where they're going to fit. I've already got a suitcase and a few handbags. Well, not like that, but you know, like, although it's okay nowadays. Anyway, I had those, and I'm going to the airport, and I'm on a discount traveling back then on an airline, and I'm thinking, man, I'm going to get charged excess baggage. You know, 1 kilo over is like $150, and I'm stressed as I'm going to the airport. But if I fast forward, I was sitting on the couch at home. And I'm sitting on the couch a week later, and I can't honestly remember how I went from stress and how am I going to get through this situation and what's going to happen to now sitting at the couch. And I got everything home and they didn't charge me any extra, and I don't really remember what happened. But isn't it amazing in life how we can actually be so stressed out about something? But as life goes on, we stretch in our capacity so that we can handle more. You know, if you're a mum here, you know, you would never have believed how much travel you can do taking your kids just to the sports clubs all the time. But now you just do it without even thinking about it because it's a part of your life. What about at school? There was times when you did certain tests or certain type of study, some sort of maths, and you were like, I don't get this. Am I going mad? And then 2 years later, it's like, that's so easy. And now I've got something that's harder. We need to recognize that life continues to increase. Life has more to offer for you. God has purposed that each one of us wouldn't settle where we're at, but we would continue to believe for more. And tonight I want to speak it over your life. It's a season for more. It's a season for increase. It's a season for you to rise and be who God has purposed you to be. So in the book of Isaiah in chapter 54, verse 1, it says, sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into song. I just want you to understand that this passage of scripture is actually the opposite of what really should happen. Who knows that when you're a woman and you've been longing to have a child and you can't, the last thing you feel like doing is singing about it. But you see, God isn't just speaking on behalf of a lady here. He's speaking to Israel at that time, the nation. And he's saying, come on, do you trust me whatever your circumstances look like? Shout for joy, you who never are in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in desolate cities. About 3 years ago, I was sitting in an executive meeting at Planet Shakers. I am the international director of Planet Shakers. Such a big title. Who has a clue what it means, though? The truth is, everything that happens outside of Australia, which apart from church, is everything, I am supposed to be responsible for. But there's all sorts of other things that I'm actively involved in. And on this particular occasion, I was sitting in a meeting, and we already had tours 26 weeks a year. The band is on the road. We had all sorts of opportunities with conferences and different things. I was traveling personally about 30 weeks a year. And at that stage, I had one half-time staff member working with me. And we were already like maxed out. And I'm sitting in a meeting, and Pastor Russell Evans is my great friend. But he's also my senior pastor. So when I'm in an executive meeting, I treat him as the leader and my boss. And so he's just talking randomly about church stuff. And suddenly he looks across the table at me and he says, I don't think we're doing enough in Asia. And I'm thinking, this is what I'm thinking. I didn't say it, thank goodness. And I'm like, I don't care. Do you realize how much we've got going on? I'm thinking to myself, why do we need to go to Asia? There's already enough Asians in Asia without me going there and making it more crowded. What am I going to do? But of course, I just smiled and listened. And he said, I think we've got to give something back into those nations in Asia. Would you consider what we can do, Neil? And I went, yes, no problem. Of course. So you see, at that moment in time, I have the ability to react based on how I feel. Oh, there's another offering coming. Oh, yeah, they always take offerings around here. That's all it's all about. Pay off the building, pay off the building, pay off the building, pay off the building, pay off the building. I know none of you think like that, but I've heard there's churches down the road that feel that way. And there's that sense of, I can't do it anymore. Don't you realize what's happening in my world? Don't you realize I've only got half a staff member? Oh, yeah, easy for you to say, Asia, Asia, Asia. You'll probably go and have lunch with someone now. Well, I've got to work. What are you doing? But, oh, yes, yes, no problem, yes. Because, you see, I didn't react. Because I've learned in the economy of God, if we're going to be who God has purposed us to be, we've got to recognize there's always more that's required. We never settle. We never get to the place that's comfortable. So in that moment, I literally shut my eyes. The meeting went on. I wasn't involved in what was happening. So I just shut my eyes and I said, Holy Spirit, help me. Suddenly it gave me an idea about running a conference in Malaysia that has now developed into a conference in Malaysia and a conference in the Philippines and also an event in Indonesia and also an event in Singapore affecting over 30,000 people just a few weeks ago. But it would have been easy for me to say, I can't, we've got no staff. But you see, in the economy of God, you can. Sometimes you feel like, how am I going to get it all in the suitcase? But God has a plan. If you'll just obey Him, if you'll just step out, if you'll just say, okay, God, I'm open, use me, there's more that God has waiting for you. So tonight I want to stir you for a few moments about how, first and foremost, you're actually going to walk into the more that God has for you. The first thing is you have to break out of survival and an existence mentality. You have to break out of it. Some of us are so caught in our daily routine that we actually think, I can't do more. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. I want to tell you that God's economy is far greater than your problem. He's got a way of fixing that. He's got a way of resolving where you're at and so that you can step into all that He has for you. Now, I talked about traveling. Well, when I travel with my family, it's a whole different experience. Not always a good one, but it's a whole different experience. I now have two women in my house, and I don't know what it is about women that they actually can't, when you're traveling together, share a straightening iron. They're heavy things. Why can't you share a hairdryer? As they've got older and more advanced in life, those hairdryers are heavy suckers in that bag. And they've got all these devices and things, and I'm like, God help me. But what I say to them is every one of us can have one suitcase each. And when it comes to packing a car, this is not a sexist statement. But men are better than girls at packing cars. Oh, sorry, I lost half the crowd. But I don't know about you, but I played a lot of Tetris. And there's something so satisfying about trying to work out how you're going to get all those bags in that tiny little boot. So I tell my family, bring your bags and put them around the car, not in the car, not in the boot, not it, just around the car, and then leave. I don't need your advice about what you think. I will sort it out. And so I work on the principle of getting these suitcases in the boot. And then I stand back and I don't know, it's my man brain, but I stand back and I look, ooh, that'd go, yeah, that one, ooh, yeah, there. And I just look for a few minutes. Then I start putting them in and placing them. And it's amazing how I get those bags into the boot. And then I shut the boot and, you know, it's like on tilt like this, but it's shut. You know, I could never open it again, but I've got everything in there. And then you stand back, nobody's even there, nobody has to be there. And you're just like, I did it. It's a moment until your teenage daughter comes down the stairs and she goes, oh, Dad, I forgot to give you this bag. And it's in that moment that you can feel every blood vessel in your body popping. And it's like, I can't believe that you did that. What are you thinking? And where am I going to fit that? And then her mum, girls always gang up, I've learnt. And her mum says, what are you worried about? We can just put it on our lap. And I'm like, you can't put it on your lap. It could be in the boot. What do you think? But think about it logically. Why can't they put it on their lap? Because I had it all worked out and it didn't work. I was so caught in what I thought it was going to be. I was so caught in my routine. I was so caught in wanting to be in control that I actually couldn't adjust to the fact that it didn't affect me that they had the bag on their lap. So what difference does it make? But you see, we can get so caught in thinking that we're in control, in thinking that it's our routine, it's our pattern. Have you ever driven to work, those that drive, and you arrive at the office and you're sitting in your office and on your desk is a takeaway cup of coffee that you've bought from a particular coffee shop and you can't remember how it got there because you've been to that coffee shop so many times. You could have gone through 10 red lights on the way to work, but you wouldn't know because you've been going the same way, the same time, every time, and you've locked into a pattern and you've lost objectivity. God wants you to understand that we've got to break out of our patterns. Got to break out of our routines. If Holy Spirit's going to move in your life, you're going to say, yes, Lord, whatever you require. Ah, I don't know if you. Well, yes, Lord. Ah, yes, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be ready for what you're about to do in and through my life. You see, Horizon Church isn't just a word. It's a statement. The statement is possibility. The statement is heaven touching earth. The statement is us recognizing that there's more on the horizon. So if that's going to be the case, then we're going to have to recognize that with a significant church always comes more. Look at this, we're nearly packed out in this room. It won't be long before a third service is happening. Won't be long before a fourth service. But people will say, hang on a second, a third service? What are we having a third service for? It's good, just two services. Now we're going to have extra ushering, and we're going to have extra this and extra that. And usually it's the people that only attend one service on Sunday that are making those comments. So they're so locked into why do we have to do it that they forget that it actually doesn't even affect them. I want us to be people in this church that understand that there's more coming. There's always more. There's always a stretching that God has for us, and it's time to break out of our survival existence mentality. I love the Japanese. The Japanese, oh man, there's always room for more people in Japan. Always. Have you ever noticed most of the elevators that we're getting are actually designed by the Japanese? You get in and there's four of you jammed in there and you read the lift, how many people are allowed, and it's like 26. You're thinking, how would you get 26 people in here? Even if you're short and small and little, you're not going to fit in here. Well, when I was there a few years ago, I went to this place called Shinjuku. Shinjuku Station is the most populated station or the most walked over station in the entire world. Over 1 million people cross the platform every day. And it's just jammed. And if you remember, for those that can remember, there was a rugby ad when John Eales was the coach. You know, some of you are like weren't even born, but John Eales, not the coach, he was the captain of the rugby union team. And it was the World Cup, and he was advertising the credit card Visa. And the advertisement was that they were in a scrum, and they were standing at a train station in Japan, because the World Cup was in Japan, and John Eales is pushing all these people onto the train. And you know, you only need Visa or something ridiculous. And anyway, but I remembered it. And so I'd heard that they have people that are employed as their full-time job just to push people onto the trains at peak hour traffic. Now, I don't know about you, but when in Rome, do as the Romans do. I'm thinking I want to be a pusher, not that type of pusher, a train pusher. Not like my friend, he's a legal drug dealer. But we would actually put... He's a chemist, for those that are wondering, okay? It's okay. Some of you don't know him. He's like, what? We got a drug dealer in the church? And he's pushing. So I get there, and sure enough, I don't know why, but there's all these old ladies that have these, like, white coats on. And they're standing, and they're just waiting. And then you see people just, you know, standing, waiting for the train. And it can be as much as 3 meters away on the platform. And then all of a sudden, you see these ladies in the white jacket just start pushing. And I'm told they're old ladies because they're the highest respected in their culture. So nobody would, what are you doing pushing me? And so they're pushing them. So I think to myself, I'd love to grab one of those white jackets and just give it a go. But I thought I'd probably get arrested doing that. So next best thing is to stand right in front of one of these old women. And I'm standing in front of her and I can see her look me up like, oh, big one, you know. And she reaches up and she puts her hand in the middle of my back. I turn around and say, Australian sumo. Oh, sumo, sumo, you know. And so then she starts to push. But I've got to tell you something. The train hasn't even arrived. And she's starting to push. And I'm like, what's going to happen to those people? I guess 26 million in a city. It doesn't matter if a few go over. So she starts pushing. And she's pushing. And then the train comes. The doors open. And the train is already completely full. But she's pushing. They're pushing all along the train. Push, push, push. I get to the edge and then she gets me in the door. I feel this hand come up and push me down because I'm a bit taller than the average Japanese. And there's some guy stuck right in my belly button. I think he's died, but he can't move because he's jammed in there. And I just pat him on the head. It's going to be okay. A train takes off. We get to the next station. And within three stations, I'm somehow in the middle of the station. I'm in the middle of the train and nobody's ever got off. They just keep pushing them. And what I realized right then is the Japanese never think there isn't more space. They just keep pushing. They just keep believing. And how is it that we, if somebody even just touches us, well, get away from me. Public transport. Oh, what's going on here, you know? Because in our mentality, there's a, give me room, give me space. You can't come into my world. Why would you be a part? Because we like to be in control. We like to actually have the everyday routine. But I'm telling you, if God's going to move in your heart, he's going to move in the heart of this church. There's going to be a more that's going to break out. Then some people are going to have to break out of that survival existence mentality. The second thing we're going to have to do if we're going to see more is we're going to have to allow difficulty and hardship to position us. Why is it that we complain and moan when difficult stuff happens? If you want more, guess what? You get more. Oh, yeah, I want more money. Oh, yeah, I definitely want more love. Oh, yeah, I definitely want more things. I definitely want more healing. But with more also comes more negative, more challenge, more things. It's not like you'd ask for more and you just get all the good stuff. So we've got to recognize that difficulty and hardship isn't there to kill us. It's there to fashion us so we're ready for what God has purposed for us. In James chapter 1 and verse 2, it actually says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. How many of you, the doctor gives you a diagnosis? You know, you've got a terminal illness. Woo-hoo-hoo! This is a trial. Yeah, bring it on. That's not usually our response. You know, when we have a trial or a problem, we don't consider it joy. We think, oh, what's going to happen? Rather than recognizing that God is always in control. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and what? Complete, not lacking anything. So we should have the spirit that says, bring it on, God. Bring it on. I'm ready for what you've got for me. God, I know that you're going to come through in my circumstance. God, I know that you're going before me. And whatever comes my way, I'm prepared. In trials and hardship, how are you? You know, I'm represented on numerous church boards. I think different boards and committees and like official things that I'm a director of. I think it's now about 46 around the world. At this stage, I was only on 4. And I'm using that as an example to say, I didn't think I could cope with 4 10 years ago. Now I'm on 46. I still don't think I can cope. But somehow I am. And you need to recognize that God will come through in your circumstances. But at this time, I was pastoring a church in Perth called Lakes Christian Life Center, now Kingdom City. And we just bought this building and we're expanding to an 800-seat auditorium. And I had the great idea, because I've got a construction background, commercial development, that I would project manage the site. Partly it was a cost-saving measure, but really I thought it'd be fun to do it because I hadn't worked in the industry for a few years. Oh man, I was thinking, what was I thinking? And anyway, it came to the Wednesday night before we were officially opening the building on the Saturday. If you've ever been involved in a church building project, any building project for that matter, rarely do they go according to the time frame. But the problem was, we had invited like guests from all over the world and all over our city to come on Saturday. It's Wednesday. It's pretty hard to cancel it at that point. I'm walking through the foyer, and at that point there was no carpet in the auditorium, no paint on the walls, no sound system in the building. And there was a few things to be done out in our foyers, and I'm walking along, and as I'm walking along, I suddenly feel this pain in my chest so badly that I fall to the floor. And I fell to the floor, and I start, oh, lying on the floor, oh. And then I open my eyes, there's nobody around, thinking, what's the point of going, oh, nobody's even here. Now, you know, as a man, you've got to do that sometimes. So then I just lie there, and somebody notices me and comes over, what, are you okay? What a stupid question to ask. I'm lying on the floor. You know, but are you okay? No, I'm not. And I can barely breathe and I've got this restriction. They find my wife and my wife comes and says, you've got to go to the doctor. Quick, call the emergency. And I'm like, no, don't do that. You know, all men know you don't go to doctors or hospitals. No. You know, I could have been dying. But in the end, my wife forced me to go. I go to the doctor. The doctor says to me, I paid him $100 for this. He says, Mr. Smith, you're under great stress. I'm like, man, I'm under greater stress now. I just paid you $100 to tell me that. And then he makes this line. You've got to do nothing for the next 2 weeks. I just smiled at him. Oh, great, fantastic. Forgot to tell my wife that part until the church was open. And went back, but the strain was incredible. We managed to get the building done. But we get into the building on the Saturday night. We have the celebration. And there's a few curtains in places, so, you know, don't go behind those curtains. You could die back there. And we have the opening, and people love it, and it's great, and go home. But I'm really looking to having church the next morning, because that was all the guests. Now we're going to have our family together, and I'm pumped about it. But one of the things that didn't get installed because of time was the alarm system. And they believed that it was an inside job, somebody knew. So that night, we had thieves come and break all the glass at the front and take every bit of technology out of the building, TVs and LED stuff and you know, all our sound system and all our musical instruments, everything. And so we come into church. This is our triumphant moment. We've been building towards this building for years, and we walk in. And that morning, I'm like, what do I even say to people? Well, come on, get the guitar out. Kumbaya, my Lord. It wasn't the moment I was expecting. That week, we get the insurance in and we fix everything up, and we manage to get it through. We get it operational. It's now Sunday morning. We have our first service. It's incredible. I go home that afternoon, and I have an afternoon sleep. It's been a pretty busy few weeks, and as I'm having a sleep, my phone rings. I pick it up, and it's one of the musicians saying, Pastor Neil, I don't know if you can hear this. And they put their phone up in the air, and I can just hear and this noise. I said, what is it? They said, the main guttering system through the middle of the building has collapsed. And we had in 2 hours the biggest downpour of rain in Perth in 30 years. And it collapsed, and our stage literally became like a lake. There was a waterfall onto the keyboard that was brand new just from the insurance company. And our whole building, in the end, we had nearly $300,000 of damage, and we couldn't use the auditorium, our offices, for the next 8 weeks. Why, God? I'm working for your kingdom. Consider it pure joy. Oh, yes, Lord, this is wonderful. Which response do you think I had? It was that one. But it wasn't until a few years later when I get a phone call from my friend who I'm on the church board of his in England. And he rings me and he says, right now, our Farlsworth property is on fire. They think it's going to burn to the ground. Would you pray? I didn't know whether I was supposed to pray for fire or I didn't know what I was supposed to pray for. But, you know, I just prayed, and I didn't pray very well because the whole building burnt down. It was only 6 months after that I get a call from my friend John Cameron, Arise Church in New Zealand. I'm on the church board there, and he rings me and says, you've heard about the earthquakes in Christchurch. Our church people have been decimated. There's all sorts of things going on. We're not sure what we're going to do. Would you pray? And I said, John, I don't know what to say other than to say that God's going to come through. He always does in these circumstances. And John's like, oh, yeah, thanks. But in other words, great friend you are, just pray. And then I literally another few months later, I get a phone call from my friend. I'm on a church board in Brisbane. And remember that Brisbane had the floods of the city. His church building was right in the middle of the floods. He rings me and he's up to his knees, and he said, by the end of the day, it's going to be up to my neck. Our whole sanctuary will be totally destroyed. And I said, hang in there, Paul. I know God's going to come through for you. But you know, in those moments, who knows? It's hard to believe God's going to come through. You don't know how you're going to get through, what's going to happen. But here's the thing about Glenn Barrett's property in Manchester. That property had just put a heritage listing on it, and we weren't allowed to touch the building, and the building was useless to the church. By the way, we didn't set the fire, just in case you're wondering. And it got burnt to the ground, and at ground level, the property was worth more. Today, they own a property in the city, a 2,000-seater, having incredible influence across their city, and it was able to be done because that property funded the deposit that we needed to be able to buy this property in the city. God had a plan. By the way, I wouldn't invite you to be on my church board, on your church board. It wouldn't be a good thing with all the natural disasters going on. But then John Cameron, after a few months, we actually had a problem in that church. It wasn't growing in Christchurch. And we, as a board, had just spoken a few weeks before the earthquakes and said, what are we going to do? We didn't know what we were going to do. But because they actually created a community pooling center for food, they became the source, the center of community to give out food during the earthquakes. Their church in Christchurch doubled in the next 12 months because of what took place. You see, you got to trust God, whatever it looks like. Sometimes it looks like it's a disaster, but consider it pure joy because he's expanding your capacity. Paul Gehling in Brisbane, he actually had just said that they wanted to sell that property because it was on the outskirts of the city, and he really felt their church should be in the center of the city. The insurance company paid for the best building in the city for the next 12 months, for everything in it, the best look it could be. The church grew. Today, we sold that property many years ago, but today they've got four properties that they own around the city of Brisbane, debt-free, because that property's net worth for unit development was huge. And God used that circumstance for us to break into the next level. Consider it pure joy, whatever circumstances you may go through. You see, we need to be people that are ready for the more that God has for us. But the more they were oppressed, it says in Exodus chapter 1, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites. Sometimes you've got to recognize that the more oppressed you become, the stronger you become, the more equipped you become for what God has purposed for you. This church obviously has a significant future because look at the past. It hasn't always been easy. But I want to say to you today, sing, O barren woman, look what the Lord is about to do. There's something about to break out. Stretch. There's an increased measure that God is wanting to give to you. And the third thing that I would say is if you're going to be ready to contain more, you've got to stretch. Stretching by nature is painful. Ask any woman that's been in childbirth. I didn't want to ask, and I'm glad you didn't ask about the childbirth on the phone. I was appreciative of that, and I'm sure she was as well. But the truth is that it's the greatest parallel for us to understand. Growth is a process of expansion and contraction. We love talking about the expansion, but the truth is, for something to be ready, for the birth canal to be ready, it must actually have expansion and contraction so that it can actually be ready so that it can take what it's about to birth. So often we go, well, it's painful. It's not working the way I thought. Why is this happening to me? Rather than saying, God, why is it happening to me? What are you preparing me for? I know you've got a plan that's beyond where we are right now. You know, the youth ministry is about to come into its greatest days. It's ready. Look, there's now two groups, and those two groups are going to be bigger than the one group was. I speak it over the youth ministry tonight that what was big last year in one group is going to be small, two groups, each individually rating. God is about to expand something, and he's just been waiting to bring that sense of, But now you're going to go into the awe of God, what he has purposed for you. See, a hot air balloon works on the principle of heat and cooling. Heat the air, it expands. Cool the air, it contracts. You need to recognize for God to move in your life, sometimes the heat's going to come on. But all that's doing is preparing you for the expansion that's ahead. You need to recognize that then you feel like you're just about to break through and you feel like you're pulling back. But no, God is not, there's not a season in your life where it's up and down. It's a season of expansion and contraction, readying you for what he's about to birth. We don't have seasons of highs and lows. I'm going to ask the musicians to come. Expansion and contraction prepares us for what God is wanting to birth. The question for you and for you and for you and for you, for each person in this room, is what is it that God wants you to birth? What is it that God's got you on the earth to do? What is it that he's purposed for your life? You see, he wants you to recognize there's a more that is coming. There's more that he has for you. You see, we need to recognize that even Joseph had to go through the expansion and contraction. Joseph experienced family blessing, expansion. Joseph was thrown into the pit, contraction. Joseph in Potiphar's house, expansion. Joseph was placed in a significant house, just like you are. It's called Horizon Church. Joseph was thrown into prison, contraction. Joseph ruled alongside Pharaoh, expansion. Joseph wasn't up and down. He was in a process of expansion and contraction so he could be who God had purposed him to be. Church, I want you to know that you're coming into your more. There's a season where you're stepping into that God has for you that's greater than where you've ever been before. The movement of our lives is not up and down. It's expansion and contraction. In every contraction lies the seed for the next expansion. there's more. More when the doctor says it's not possible to have children. There's more increase, measure of God-given authority waiting. There's more financial increase in the supernatural dimension. There's more faith to believe for the promises of God. There's more family to come back to the Lord. There's more favor and influence in the marketplace. There's more schools coming back to Christ. There's more universities coming back to Christ. There's a city to be won. We need some people who have a more mentality. Imagine if I'd sat in that room. I said, Russell, don't be ridiculous. How can we do anything more? I stood with Brad right next to me on a Friday night in the Philippines. First week of January. Hands lifted. 17,500 people, sold out crowd 6 weeks before. Lined up from 3:30 in the morning to be in a meeting at 9:30 in the morning. Then they stayed all day right through to 10 o'clock at night. Hunger, desperation. But in that room, I had the decision. Am I comfortable with where I'm at? Am I stuck in where I've been? Or am I, oh, God, I want more. God, I'll break the pattern and the routine of my life. God, I'll stop complaining about what I don't have and start to look to you who has everything. God, would you stretch me so that I'm ready for the more. This morning, we spoke a message called It's a New Day, a prophetic message. Your more is coming. Are you going to react and miss out? I can't do it. Or are you going to step in and say, stretch me, Lord. Prepare me, Lord. If that's you and you say, God, I want to be a part of it. God, I want to be stretched. I want to be increased. I want you to stand to your feet. Right around the room and just say, yeah, that's me. I want more. I'm not content. I don't want to stay where I'm at. And I want you to simply do something. Rather than lifting your hands straight in the air, I want you to put them out wide like this. It's like a statement of stretch. Statement of, I'm going to carry more. I'm going to have an increased measure. God, I don't want to complain anymore. God, I don't want limitation to be what I once have. I don't want to have the mentality it doesn't fit in this suitcase. I want to recognize that you've always got room for more. I want to push to see what I look in the natural can't happen, but somehow you can increase and place more. I'm sure God hasn't totally downloaded the plan to the leadership of the church yet, but it's coming. Next Sunday, Pastor Brad's preaching. It's not just going to be a nice message, I'm sure. He's not going to be able to help himself in this prophetic environment. There's going to be something of more. It's not so much about the church. We go, oh, the church. Yeah, the church is always asked. No, you are the church. Horizon Church isn't a building. It's you. It's you and it's you. And if we want to see this thing become all that it's purposed to be, then, we need more. Stretch me. Increase me. God, I'll do whatever you need me to do. I'm prepared. I'm going to respond, not react. I'll break out of my pattern and the things that hold me back. I'll step into all you have purposed for me. More. More. Well, let's sing that song.